We've spent some time looking at the theme of joy, the theme of rejoicing in the letter to the Philippians. And as we've been looking at that theme of joy and rejoicing that scattered throughout the four chapters of the letter, we haven't worried too much about the other teaching in the book or the other exhortations given in that epistle. We did do a couple of tangents off of our theme. We did one on the Greek word ta, things, interests, concerns. And we noted that the letter talks about your own ta, your own things. It also talks about the ta of others, other people's things, other people's concerns. It also talks about the ta of Jesus Christ, the things of Jesus Christ. And in a really haunting passage, at least to myself, hopefully I got it to haunt you a little bit, when Paul wants to send somebody to the Philippians who will truly be concerned for their ta, for their things. He's only got Timothy to send. Of all the people available to him, only Timothy. All the rest won't be truly concerned about the things of the Philippians because they seek their own things, not the things of Jesus Christ. So we did a tangent on that. And we also mentioned that the letter to the Philippians talks a lot about mindset. A lot about attitude. We're exhorted to have among us a common mindset, a shared attitude. We're encouraged to have the mindset which was in Jesus Christ, who, although existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, to have that type of mindset. We're told that many walk with a mindset on earthly things. We walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. We're told that it's good to have our mind set on things above, not on things below, but to have an attitude, a perspective, a mindset orientated towards things above. And I suggested that there's a connection between all that talk about mindset and attitude and perspective and all the joy talk. Especially there's a connection to that exhortation to rejoice in the Lord. So we talked about that a little bit. And I want to close the time that we've had in Philippians just with one last tangent. I want to leave us with one of the exhortations found in the letter. Now, when you hear the exhortation, it's not going to seem too exotic. It won't seem too unusual. It won't seem too profound, perhaps. Yet, though the exhortation isn't going to surprise or dazzle probably any of you, it's interesting that it's perhaps not an exhortation that we actually make very often. Again, it won't dazzle you or in some sense surprise you, but if you think about it, it's also an exhortation perhaps that we don't make very often. And at the end of the message, I'm going to read you the text. But what I would like you to do is just to kind of sit back and listen for a little bit. I want to try to give the exhortation to us as an exhortation that's completely appropriate and fitting for our own story, for our own lives. So not just teach it out of the letter, but give it to us as people for whom it's appropriate to hear such an exhortation. The verse in Philippians that contains the exhortation in Greek reads very concisely, and it's kind of neat. It's therefore, says a couple things, do this, the actual exhortation, thus. So therefore, do this, thus. So the exhortation is based on some things. It's not an exhortation that comes out of the blue. It's because of some things. It's therefore do this. So it has a foundation in some things. And because of those things, then we are actually exhorted to do this, you know, to the actual exhortation, or urge to act in a certain way. And then we're given some help for what doing it will look like. Do it thus. This is what's going to happen. So therefore, do this thus. So I want you just to sit back And here it said to you. I want to give you some reasons. And then having given you the reasons, I want to give you the exhortation. And then I'm going to tell you a few ways, a few things you'll have to do if you want to do that. Heed the exhortation, if you want to actually do it. So therefore, do this thus. Being people who belong to God, you don't really belong to the world. You're not of the world, even though you are in it. You have been born again of imperishable seed. And being born of imperishable seed, being born of His Spirit, you have been transferred out of the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of His beloved Son. You've been transferred into the kingdom of heaven. So together, we are like a colony of heaven, manning a little outpost here on earth. But heaven is where we now belong. Here we have no abiding city. We're just pilgrims. We're aliens and we're strangers. So your citizenship, because of Christ, is in heaven. And while we're here, we find ourselves waiting. Waiting for the one who saved us. And the one who saved us, he's not here right now. I mean, he's like at the home office. We don't see him right now. He's gone on ahead. He's gone to prepare the place that he wants to receive us to. But that one who has gone on ahead, he is the one, he's the way by which we became citizens of heaven. That one is the one by which you became a citizen of heaven. So he is your Savior. And we believe that he will come again and receive you unto himself. So we're waiting for him to come again. Probably it's right to say we're eagerly waiting. We're excited. We know it's certain. He will most certainly come again. Our hope is fixed in him. And one reason that we're eagerly waiting is that when he comes, he's going to change your body. He's given us new hearts. Daily, he's working in us to renew our minds. But right now, our bodies are rather humble. They're just the natural earthly bodies. I couldn't help but think when Melissa was talking that she's going to do transformational teaching over there at the school. And so we hope that hearts get transformed, right? That minds get transformed. But all of us know already, right, that nobody's body is going to get transformed. Melissa's not going to come back and say in 2 years there's a bunch of folks in Germany who have immortal, incorruptible bodies because she's been there for a couple of years, right? But that doesn't mean something, a transformation of our body isn't going to happen. But we're waiting for him to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to transform our bodies. He's going to give us bodies just like his own, glorified bodies, no longer subject to corruption, no longer subject to death. They will be incorruptible. They will be immortal. So those are some things that are true of you. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're waiting for a Savior, waiting eagerly for him to return. And when he comes, he's going to transform your body into conformity to the body like he currently has, into a glorified body. Those are things that are true of you. So because of those things, because of that citizenship, and because of that waiting for your Savior, because you're going to get a transformed body when he comes, because of those things, on the basis of those things, here is what I want you to do. I urge you to stand firm. I urge you to stand firm in the Lord. Don't wander off. So that were somebody to come to find you, you would not be at your post. Don't wander off. And don't be a light switch Christian. On 1 minute, off the next. Bright 1 minute, dim the next. Engaged for a while, disengaged the next moment. So that were somebody to come to find you, it wouldn't be an iffy question whether they're going to find you awake or whether they find you sleeping. So don't be a light switch Christian. Don't kind of in and out and back and forth and up and down. And don't go astray. Don't let other things catch your eye. Don't start chasing other interests, being enamored of other things. It's easy when feeling a little bored to start looking around. It's possible when you're weary or hurting to think this is too long, too far, too big, too something. Don't go astray. And don't withdraw. Maybe you're a little sore. Maybe you're a little tired. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you're scared. When you say, if you need me, I'll be in the break room. I'm just going to withdraw. Don't do that. So I'm urging you to stand firm within. But also I want to urge you to stand firm so that you don't get pushed away either. To stand firm, you're going to have to withstand some pressures from the outside. The press of circumstances and responsibility, the worries and cares of life, and the temptation of the enemy. He will work to lure, to entice, to suggest. The world's not interested in you standing firm. The enemy is not going to urge you to stand firm in the Lord. The world and the enemy are going to work against that, try to push you aside. So withstand. Don't get pushed aside. So, because of your citizenship, because you're waiting for your Savior, because He's going to transform your body, I want you to stand firm in the Lord. And here's a few things that you're going to have to do in order to stand firm. Thus, maybe you're encountering some of these things that I'm going to mention right now. But you'll probably have to do all these things sometime or other if you stand firm. There are going to be times, if you want to stand firm, where you're going to have to figure out how to be of the same mind, of the same attitude with a fellow saint, with a fellow servant of the Lord. There are going to be times when that's going to be very specific. You're going to have to figure out how to get along with some specific person, some particular brother, some particular sister. Just like Euodia and Syntyche and Philippians had to figure it out how to get along with each other, be of the same mind with each other. So there are going to be times where you're going to have to figure out, how do I get to be of the same attitude, same perspective as this other brother or this other sister? And you ever struggle to stand firm because a particular person is going to be there? So I don't know if I'm going to go to the meeting. I don't care about any of the rest of you. I'm fine with all the rest of you. But if Manish is going to be there, I don't know if I'm going to go. And there will be a time where I have to figure out, how do I and Manish be of the same mind? Or I won't stand firm. You'll stand firm only if you rejoice in the Lord. Too much weight on other things, too large a response to other things, and you will wander off, or you'll go astray. It takes strength to stand firm, and the joy of the Lord can give you strength. So you're going to have to rejoice in the Lord to stand firm. The difficulty of a lot of happenings of life, the distraction, the discouragement that comes from many happenings in life and many relationships in life, rejoicing in the Lord will help you be content and will help give you perspective so that you don't wander, you don't go astray. Also, to stand firm, you're going to need to be magnanimous. There are many things that you're going to need to get past, and if you don't get past them, they will keep you from standing firm. You know, they'll make you waver if you don't get past it. They'll make you stumble. They'll trip you up somehow. And not only will you need to get past some things, sometimes it's important to get past them easily and quickly. You know, not 4 months of counseling to get you through it. Part of being magnanimous is you can get past it, and you can get past it easily, and get past it quickly. You know, sometimes forgiving others takes the form of simply saying, "Don't mention it. No problem. No bigger deal than that." So learn to say no problem to quite a few things. Learn to say, "Oh, don't worry about it." To be sure, there are at times very large, informidable obstacles to standing firm in the Lord. Really big things. But more often, posts get abandoned because of tripping over small things, tripping over petty things. You don't stand firm because too much sweat over the small stuff. So if you want to stand firm, it's best to have a large heart. You know, it's good if not too many things make you say, "I have a problem with that." So if you come here, "I have a problem with there's so much glass on the north end. Or I have a problem with the lights. Or I have a problem with the air conditioning. Or I have a problem that this or that," or all kinds of things. Well, it's good to be able to say, "I don't have a problem with too many things." One of the statements that Kimmy taught me, it's probably a college thing, is when somebody's bugging her and hung up on something, she'll say, "Build a bridge and get over it."
Cry to your river, build me a bridge, get over it.
Oh, you can cry to river first, but then build a bridge and get over it. So don't be derailed. Don't be sidetracked by the unimportant. I mean, by the petty. And I would say, if you're going to cry a river, do it fast, okay? Okay, you know, do it in 5 minutes and then build a bridge and get over it. Something about magnanimous. There's like a largeness there, a generosity there. If you don't trip up by the small and the petty, that'll be important if you want to stand firm. Related to that, it'd be hard to stand firm if you're anxious all the time. Don't be anxious for anything. Your Father knows. Your Father cares. And you can talk to Him in prayer. You can make requests of Him. He hears prayer. You can make supplication. He listens and He answers. You can cast your care on Him. Don't be anxious. None of us can add a single cubit to our life by being anxious. So don't be anxious for anything. Instead, call upon Him. Trust Him. Your Father knows the things that you have need of. But if you're anxious, you won't stand firm, because anxiety has a way of drawing you into the thing that you're anxious about. To stand firm, you're going to need to keep your head in the game. There are many things that you can choose to think about. And if you blank, there's always Google. You know, the world will throw suggested topics at you by the thousands. Though what the world suggests for you to think about, focus on, doesn't help you stand firm. So you need to keep your head in the game. You need to think about what's holy. Think about what's lovely. Think about what's excellent. Think about things that are righteous. Think about things that are praiseworthy. Keep your head in the game. Focus, dwelling on those things. And then one more thing that you'll need to do if you want to stand firm in the Lord. Standing firm is an active thing, not passive. Standing firm is not the same thing as standing around. The things that you have already learned, the things that you have seen and heard in others, the things that you have been given by the Lord, practice those things. Do those things. You know, maybe you have not been shown as much as the person sitting next to you. That's okay. But practice the things, do the things that you have been shown. Be active with those things. So don't just stand around. Practice and do all those things the Lord has imparted to you, given to you, shown to you. So there's some reasons to do it. You're citizens of heaven. You're waiting for a Savior. When he comes, he's going to give you a glorified body to match the new heart that he's put within you and the mind that he's renewing in you. He's going to give you an incorruptible, immortal body. There's some reasons. And here's something to do. Stand firm. Stand firm in the Lord. Don't wander. Don't withdraw. Don't go to the break room. And don't get pushed away either by the lures of the world or the temptations of the enemy. And here's some ways that you're going to have to do it. Sometimes a particular brother and sister got to figure out, how do I get along with that person so that I'm able to stand firm? Then all the things on the list, you're going to have to rejoice in the Lord. It'll give you strength. It'll give you perspective. It means other things aren't so weighty or so central. Be magnanimous. A big heart, large heart. You get past things. That's not a problem. I'm good. Let's keep going. Don't be anxious for anything. Your Father knows. Pray to Him. Call upon His name. Keep your head in the game. Don't just think about things that come up on the internet or suggested in the newspaper. Think about things that are holy and righteous and excellent and praiseworthy. And be active. Do the things. Practice the things that He's shown you, that He's modeled for you, that He's revealed to you. So, some ways to do it. So here's the passage. Just hear it as from the Lord, as His people. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has, even to subject all things to Himself. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm. Stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And the God of peace will be with you. Therefore, do this thus. When citizens of heaven, when people who are waiting for their Savior, waiting for Him to come in order for their bodies to transform, when those people, when they become beloved to you, when they are the people whom you long for, when they are people who are your joy and crown, the thing that you want to urge them to do is stand firm in the Lord. So I urge you, beloved, my joy and crown, those who I long to see, stand firm in the Lord.